For the last several weeks on Recovery Now, we've been talking a lot about the 12 steps. And by now, you're pretty familiar with those. But what we're going to do this week on Recovery Now is to slow down a little bit, and we're going to take a look at some specific aspects, some specific words, little subjects to deal with when entering into a 12-step recovery program. Hi, this is Ned Wicker, and today we're going to be talking about denial. Now, in the first step, we realize that we're powerless over our addiction. Okay, so that has a little denial piece in it. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. That has a little denial piece in there. And so we're going to take a look at the word denial as it relates to the 12-step program. Now, as usual, the Reverend Dr. Dan Geeting is with us today. Debbie Wicker is with us, who's going to be bringing us some questions. And this is a little sidetrack, Dan, but I think denial is kind of an important topic because it's real easy just to try to gloss over denial.
I think one of the first places as we look at step one, like you said, we admitted we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. There are two places in that beginning that we can look at. The first is the denial of being really powerless. I can handle it. One drink's not going to hurt me. And then also looking at the collateral damage, a life that is unmanageable. And I think those are two really gigantic areas that denial comes in play. And the first step in recovery, I think in the first step of health, is to say, I need help.
One of the aspects about denial that I find interesting is a lot of times, when you go with the 12-step material, I understand it. But for someone on the outside looking in, or someone who hasn't worked with it, someone who isn't familiar with everything, and Debbie, that's where you were helping me, the denial is a huge piece that has to be dealt with before anything else.
A lot of people say, I'm only hurting myself. Leave me alone. To me, leave me alone, I'm only hurting myself, are like the hallmarks of denial. Because I think everyone can see that they're hurting a lot more than themselves and that they need anything but to be left alone.
With that, I do think that families also sometimes can, not only with the alcoholic themselves saying, leave me alone, there's many times the type of cover-up that it's really not this bad. And until there is really an examination to see how much a family member is suffering, friends are suffering, how many people are really what I would call connected to this person that is the addict, alcoholic, and the collateral damage. Somebody explained it like it's a tornado running through relationships.
A couple of principles to start out with. One principle. Realize I'm not God. Principle number one, I'm not God. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and that my life is unmanageable. Compare that to step number one, admitted that we were powerless over our addiction and compulsive behaviors, that our lives had become unmanageable. I think there, taking a look at your own limitations, and then kind of getting to the point where you're comfortable with that. Yeah. I know that I can't do this. I know that I'm powerless over this. I know that my life is out of control, and I'm not going to deny it. I'm going to embrace it rather than fight it. And I think that's one of the hardest things to do in that denial piece, is just to get comfortable in your own skin so that I don't have to deny it.
And I think the other thing is not just accepting that I'm not God and that I am powerless, but also to accept all aspects of what you're dealing with. Maybe you can say, yeah, maybe I drink too much, but you don't really accept all of the other behaviors that are accompanying it or maybe causing it. You know, maybe there was abuse as a child. Maybe you have a lot of guilt about something. You know, there's other parts and other aspects of it that also facilitate denial. So you may say, yes, I agree that I drink, but no, I don't want to agree to all the other things that are really surrounding your denial.
I think one of the things is real important in the recovery aspect, and especially in treatment programs, is people have to put together, the addict puts together a step one inventory of how their life has become unmanageable, and starting to take inventory and looking at what influences their using has had in relationship to themselves, to others, God, life. And when we are saying, to coming to the realization that I am not God, but to look at this, to be a denial buster, is to look at the addiction and see what really is God of my life. That if I'm not God, God's not God, what is? And to come to see how that addiction really has taken over the center of operation, and really the addiction is God, and the addiction dictates what's going to happen. Yes, and I have lost control.
A lot of people are afraid of that. I'm not going to admit that I've lost control. I'm afraid of what that means. A couple of questions come up. Am I going to let my past failures prevent me from taking this journey through the 12 steps? Am I afraid to change? Or what are my fears of the future? What if? Am I afraid of what might happen? Or am I afraid of maybe looking over the precipice and looking down into the pit and seeing myself?
For many individuals, addiction is the only life they might have known. Being raised in an alcoholic family, alcohol has always been a part of everything that they've looked at and done since they were teenagers. If they started, it was their enabler, it was their coping mechanism. So normal to the addict is having the addiction there, having my companion, that although it started out as a friend, as it progresses, it bites the person in the behind and becomes the enemy.
Another question, you know, am I willing to get rid of all of that stuff, all of the failures, all of the fears, all of the gremlins that are kind of creeping around there?
And Ned, I think what you hit on is the key word. And so another word that I would relate to denial is really fear. You know, as Dan, as you said, addiction has been with me my entire life. I know nothing other than addiction. And I've done a lot of things that I'm not proud of. And I don't really want to analyze those things. Mm-hmm. And if I continue to drink or to use, I don't have to analyze those things. So part of the denial, it may not even be denial. It may be more fear than denial. And so that's why, you know, trying to at least admit that that's where you're at is helpful.
Another little word that creeps up there with the fear is guilt. Guilt and fear. Fear and guilt, they seem to go with you like peanut butter and jelly. And some people are bound by guilt. It's all over the place. You keep beating yourself up over something that happened years ago, and you're trapped. You're stuck in the guilt, and there's nowhere to go. Are you willing to think in a different direction? You think that no one out there is going to accept me if they really knew what I did or what happened? And so pretty soon, we get this picture of what is going to happen to me if all of this stuff comes out.
And along with that is not what other people think of me, but again, the guilt and the shame that here, these are the things that I did. I violated my own value system. And that's where I think the education and starting to understand the dynamics of the disease, and with some of that knowledge to see how the disease would really affect us, and that when a person is under a mood-altering chemical, the mood-altering chemical lowers inhibitions, the things that I normally would not do, I end up doing. I can't believe I did that. And then all that guilt comes in, and how do you sort that out? And finally, just coming to that place of saying, I know I'm powerless.
And I think another cousin, we've got denial, we've got guilt, we have shame, but another very close cousin is anger. Something was done to me, X, Y, and Z. Could have been 20 years ago, but I'm very angry about that. So another thing that seems to accompany denial and kind of basis for denial is that I'm angry, that something is wrong. I have been wronged, and I'm wronged over and over and over, and I don't want to get over it. I want to be angry.
Well, and part of that, too, is trying to make that connection. That step one inventory is so important, to look at our actions, what we did, what happened to us. If there are times that we were victimized, how many times was the alcohol, the addiction, part of the scenery? And to look at that and to be able to process some of that, it doesn't mean that the wrong was doesn't negate the wrong. The wrong is always going to be wrong. But let's try to see what role addiction has played in that process of knowing that I'm powerless, and that my life has become unmanageable. Where's the hope is that we can say goodbye to this and hello to anew.
The bottom line here is you want to be free from the past hurts. You want to be free from the hang-ups and the habits, and you need to deal with the past with all the bitterness, with the anger, and for men, that anger is the most common presenting emotion. Would be anger, but you need to deal with it. Isaiah 43:18 says, "Forget the former things; do not dwell on the past." That's good advice.
And we can learn from the past, but we don't have to camp out there. It can become a learning tool. And I think also, like you were saying, one of the themes of 12-step recovery people is being happy, joyous, and free. And the goal is not just getting rid of the fluid or the chemical. Yes, that will make a difference. But again, all these qualities of spirit that have been tainted and have really been ingrained in the personality of a person, such as the anger, the bitterness, as we work recovery, it's not only to be rid of using the chemical, but to also bring our whole body, mind, and spirit into wholeness, that I can experience happiness, being joyous, to be free. And that is what a lifestyle is. And I think this is where the 12 steps are not just looking at one aspect of the disease, but it's really a holistic approach to a living lifestyle, being at peace with myself, others, my higher power.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a family member, which we get this all the time, I probably get 3 emails a day, and they all say the same thing. I have a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife, a sister, you fill in the family member, and they're using and they're in denial. What are some constructive things that a person can do to help someone to overcome denial?
I think one of the first things to look at for the person that has a loved one that is using, and you know that person is in denial, to first look at ourselves as the non-user and seeing in what ways do I enable this person to keep using? And do I make excuses for them? Do I cover up for them? Am I enabling them? Am I always rescuing them? Do I suffer more consequences than they suffer? Am I more worried about it than they are? Am I destroying my life over what they're doing? And then what do you do if you discover this happening? Is start letting them experiencing the consequences of their addiction. If they're late, they suffer, not you. If they're late, you drive off without them. You know, if they don't show up for work, you don't cover for them. They start experiencing some of those consequences, and so therefore they start feeling the pain versus myself as the helping friend, the parent, the spouse.
People ask the question, you know, if I change my attitude on this and if I get a little bit more proactive, what is going to happen? What if my alcoholic husband doesn't love me anymore? What if my son gets mad at me? And so I think people have a lot of fear in what is going to happen to the dynamic of the relationship if they do point it out. And I think that's a huge stumbling block.
It's fearful to live with an angry person and a person that doesn't get their way when they don't get their addiction, because the addiction is speaking. And I think part of it is to understand the dynamics of the disease and not see the person, try to have a lens of seeing them as very sick versus mean, bad person. And I think that sometimes helps, but I don't think that you're intended to do this alone. I really think this is where the 12 steps have said, Al-Anon, get together with other people that are doing and going through similar things or have journeyed through it and learn together. Have a weeness of recovery that you can make healthy choices in that.
There's a wonderful little section in the Celebrate Recovery series, and it talks about the effects of denial. And I just want to go over them with you. Denial, the D stands for disables our feelings. E, energy lost. N, negates growth. I is isolates us from God. A is alienates us from our relationship. L lengthens the pain. The more you deny, the longer it hurts.
And as a family member, Dan, what about making an inventory? I know I've heard you mention once of the things that have harmed me that they have done and starting to really talk to them about those things. Do you think that's useful or helpful?
I think timing is always important. Timing is everything. And that's where I think, as we have had programs on people that do interventions, preparing ourselves first and knowing where we're going in this, I think is very important to have that ally and not try to be our own therapist, and also not trying to change that person, because we can't change them, but they've got to want to do it themselves.
I was talking to a woman recently who was describing to me the situation with her mother and her youngest brother. And he is living at home. He's in his mid-30s. He does not have a job. Claims he is not drinking anymore. But mom, who is wearing out because she is in her 70s, doesn't know what to do with him. He stays in his room all day, and but if he is approached about this, why don't you go out and get a job, or why don't you do this or that, the denial comes in. So the mother you were talking about enabling, Dan, this mother is trapped in this situation. She doesn't want to alienate her son, but at the same time, he's just sucking all the life out of her.
Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes the family has got to circle the wagons and talk to other family members, talk to some other friends, and dialogue. What is the best way, do you think, that we can help Bob or Sue? And to, I still say, get some help. Call a recovery center. Talk about family addictions. Go to Al-Anon. Get these key steps. And I think it's that person that has to get healthy themselves and not allow that to become their problem anymore.
And I think with Al-Anon, what they would do is really have the person go through the 12-step process themselves, the family member. And I think what people don't realize is that 12-step can be useful for them as well, because they could have aspects of denial. So that if they go to Al-Anon, then they can go through the 12-step process themselves. Number one, improve themselves, because we all know we can't change anyone else, but we can change ourselves. And then number two, learn what does the person really need to do to get into recovery. It's a great training tool, and it's a great help. And so even if someone doesn't want to go to Al-Anon, if they could go to their local church or synagogue or other spiritual center, very commonly they'll have something like Celebrate Recovery that will allow them to begin to get into recovery themselves. And maybe as their behavior changes, that will then influence the behavior of the addict so that they begin to change as well.
We're learning today that denial is sort of a cruel deception, because denial tells us we're getting away with it. We think no one else knows. The problem is they do. But while denial may shield us from the hurt, it also keeps us from ourselves or the people we love the most. And I have this picture of this person who is dying to get out of the box, and they can't because of that denial enveloping them. But once they break through that initial first step, once they get through the denial and out of the box, and then the person emerges, they start to grow, they start to prosper.
And I think the more the family or the person that in the family is concerned about the addict learns themselves about denial and learns how to talk about denial by talking about their own denial and learning themselves, I think they can be constructive with the addict rather than destructive, which tends to be what family members do.
Getting back to your Al-Anon piece, you know, the honesty of the family is really important. Another little Bible verse that comes to mind, Ephesians 4:25. Stop lying to each other. Tell the truth. For we are parts of each other. And when we lie to each other, we are hurting ourselves.
And I also think of that scripture when Christ said, the truth will set you free. It does set free, but it doesn't mean that there's not pain, a healing pain versus a destructive pain. And addiction brings a lot of destructive pain, but there's truth and grace, and learning how to get that and to be a part of that, I think, is so very important. You know, as you were looking at this whole concept out of this concept of Celebrate Recovery, I was in a vacation area in Oklahoma City, Bethany area, and that was an area that I saw a lot of churches had on their signs, Celebrate Recovery. One of the best things to do, I think, is to reach somewhere for sources, either AA, maybe a church, a friend, but seek it out, but not to feel guilty that you are in this position and that you feel like I should know better. We all have a place to begin. And the best place is just to start beginning, because the beach of recovery can help us to find that and just start wading into the water. Even if you get your toe in, give yourself credit.
Give yourself credit. And once you get over the denial, life starts to look up, because now you're facing the problem head on and you can get going on it. Next week, we're going to take a look at powerless. What does powerless mean to you? negative connotation for a lot of folks. Don't tell me I'm powerless. I'm a self-made man. I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. This alcohol thing, I'll kick this too. I'm not powerless. So next week, we'll take a look at that. If you want some more information on alcoholism or drug addiction, you can go to our websites, drug-addiction-support.org or alcoholism-support.org. You can also get the Recovery Now audio program on both of those sites if you're not already getting it on iTunes or some other way. But we're thanking you right now for being a part of this. Dan, as always, thank you for your insights.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And Debbie, thanks for the questions. Keep them coming. And as for you out there listening to us, always remember there is hope. There is a God who loves you very much. And a God who will give you the power if you are powerless. This is Ned Wicker. You've been listening to Recovery Now. God bless.